Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today as once again we face the issues. We'll be talking about a very serious issue today. It's in question form. Have we been hoodwinked? You'll learn a little more about that term later in this broadcast, but have we been hoodwinked? We the people, America, our leadership, have we been hoodwinked? That's the question today. And let me remind you that call-in telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Before we get into the monologue, dialogue, and discussion with you, our listener, let me remind you as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. The Word of God says, as Jesus is speaking to His disciples in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then further in John 17:17, Jesus gives a definitive answer as to what the Word of God is. He says, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we need to do so based on the authority of Scripture, based on the authority of God's word and not what man may say. Remember in Colossians 2:8, the Bible says, beware of any man that any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit and through traditions of men after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Beware, the Scripture says, lest any man spoil. That means to destroy your integrity. Spoil you through philosophy. That is simply intellectual prowess. So we need to understand that God gives us directions in relationship to be aware of things. And I think that's what we ought to do as Christians in particular in America today. We need to be aware of what is happening around us, who the movers and shakers are, and what their motives and goals are, and look at the modus operandi being used and understand what the end result will be if we fall into that trap. It was George Orwell a number of years ago said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, we see that taking place abundantly in Washington today, especially on the, I call it the loosey-goosey, lost left wing and the parties that's in Washington. And it's truth that we need to be seeking. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that's what we ought to do, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, is learn the truth. That's what this broadcast is about. It is discerning and distilling from the totality of what is taking place, distilling out for us to understand the truth of multitudes of issues that we're faced with day by day. Unfortunately, there are multitudes of people today, Christians and conservatives, that will simply blindly listen to and follow whatever is said and whatever the mantra may be out of the political leadership coming out of Washington. We're in dangerous days. It's a dangerous time. It's a dangerous era that we're living in, and we need to recognize that. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. They have a full staff, knowledgeable staff that can answer all your questions about power landscape equipment and hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time can answer all of your questions about backup equipment for the urgency of the hurricane season. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. A good benchmark. The gigantic flag flowing the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, the American flag. I believe it's some 165 foot tall, and that gigantic flag flowing 24/7. Find the U.S. flag at the intersection of I-295. At the base of that flag, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, sometimes I get swamped with what I want to say and forget that I need to remind you of the call-in telephone number that's 831-0917. Love to hear from you today. Love to know your opinion, your thoughts on what we're saying. And the purpose behind this broadcast is to draw you, our listener, into the conversation, the dialogue, and the discussion. But ladies and gentlemen, next Monday marks the 15th. Monday the 15th is the Monday is the 15th day, that is. The 15th day of this shutdown that we've seen in America. It's the 15th day of the national lockdown. It's the 15th day since President Trump suggested that we have 15 days of separation and the closing down of the businesses, et cetera, et cetera. It's 15 days since we started the shelter in place across America. And regardless of what our president does after the 15 days are over, America will never be the same. Hear me well. If the president allows the opening of business, and I believe he will on a partial basis, as of next Monday, because of some of the data that they have been reviewing, the president's office and his coronavirus staff task force, they've realized that there's some faulty errors in the so-called data set that's made the determination on what we ought to do and how it ought to be carried out. We'll talk about that in this broadcast today. But after the 15 days over, ladies and gentlemen, what I want us to understand, America will never be the same nation. Now, that's a profound statement, and I understand it. That's a dogmatic statement, and it's meant to be, because the total shutdown of America, including the unconstitutional closure of our nation's churches, will have an unalterable, indelible effect on the future of our nation. And I break that down in four areas, ladies and gentlemen, educationally, societally, politically, and spiritually. There's the four areas that I want us to understand. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is still in part of the elongated monologue to get to the detailed facts of what I want us to understand, the reason I say that we've been hoodwinked. And for your understanding, hoodwinked means lied to, deceived. The wool, as my mother used to call it, the wool being pulled over your eyes. And I understand that's not a term that's in the marketplace today. We've had the wool pulled over our eyes. We've been hoodwinked. We've been lied to. We've been deceived in relationship to the data. Now, I'm not talking about the virus. The virus itself is serious. It's a deadly virus, no question about it. But ladies and gentlemen, 17,000 people in America died with the swine flu, which was the H1N1 virus, under the Obama administration. And I can tell you, because I'm old enough to have lived through just a few years ago, most of you have also, can you recall a time during 2009 and 10 under the Barack Hussein Obama administration when the swine flu was so prevalent, the H1N1 virus was so prevalent? When 17,000 Americans died as a result of it. Can you recall one time that the Communist Network News did a 24-hour cycle on the virus and how many is dying and showing scenes at the hospital, the emergency rooms, and listen to Andrew Cuomo and his blatant deception to the national public about what the federal government's not giving him? Did you hear anything about things like that at that time? The answer to that's no, in case you're wondering, trying to think back. Let me help your memory. Let me stir your memory. No, there was not an occasion when that took place. Yet we had 17,000 Americans died with that. But educationally, ladies and gentlemen, it will change the educational process dramatically in America. It has already done so. Overwhelming majority of our schools, all of the public schools, not some, all of the public schools, are on online learning now. Most of the colleges and universities of every stripe on online learning as we speak today. And as a result of that tectonic shift in education, it has shifted what will be the future tense. Ladies and gentlemen, Harvard University, for example, has approximately $45 billion, I believe is the number. That's the admitted number of endowment money on the shelf. They have mega major brick and mortar overhead. And so also multitudes, if not all of our other colleges and universities on a national level. I can recall back in the 60s, in Christian education, theological education, in what we called then distant education, it was what some called home learning or home education or mail order education. The brick and mortar schools across America made fun of the Christian educational system that basically introduced the education by distant learning. It was the theological, doctrinal, biblical teaching by distant education that was introduced. In fact, in 1962 was the pinpointed date that it started. And all of the brick-and-mortar schools, all of the secular institutions made fun of and mocked and said that's phony, false education. And yet today, ladies and gentlemen, that same approach, same approach is being used today, and it's not being called phony, false education. It is the distant education approach where someone is sitting at home. In fact, someone said it's reintroduced homeschooling across America because moms and dads are realizing that their child in 2 to 3 hours can learn all academics that they would spend 8 and 10 hours at school and on the long ride on the yellow bus from and to and from school. But the educational process, ladies and gentlemen, will be totally changed as a result of this. May I remind us, it is a constitutional republic that we live in, and this unabashed, this undermining of the constitutional republic is a non-ceasing approach. And since online education was instituted just a few weeks ago by the educational institutions across America, in fact, the liberal professors, I read an article the other day, the liberal professors of these colleges and universities are taken aback because they said, and I quote, "We're concerned about the general public now seeing what we've been teaching in our colleges and universities." They ought to be. They should be fearful of it. They should be ashamed of it. Because what they've been doing is undermining the warp and the woof, that is the fundamental foundation and fabric of the constitutional republic called the United States of America. But ladies and gentlemen, what I'm wanting to understand is the educational process will be dramatically changed in America as a result of this change that's being brought about because of the coronavirus. The public now can hear the professors and what they're saying. And I believe it will tone down, tamp down, if not change, that aspect of it dramatically. But not only our educational system unalterably changed for the future, but also our society in general. Ladies and gentlemen, society will be changed on an unalterable basis as a result of this coronavirus and what we're told to do. Society will be dramatically different in the future tense in America. Today, society is being told not to associate with others, stay at a distance, and that there ought to be the communication by text and email and Skype and otherwise. This has unalterably divided our society today and the American citizens. We're told that this is the way it ought to be. Have you noticed, if you go into any stores to pick up toilet tissue, or loaf of bread, or gallon of milk. Have you noticed how people will watch people? And the idea is if you see someone sneezing or coughing, you need to report them. That happened in one of the northeastern grocery stores. A man was coughing and sneezing simply because of allergies. And the clerk in the store confronted him and pushed him away from the counter so that he can't get near the food products. And he just made a brash statement that I have coronavirus. And she called the police department. They came and arrested man. They've charged him with a terrorist threat. Terrorist threat. Can you imagine in the future tense after this is over, after the panic, the hysteria, the hair on fire mentality in America and around the globe? Can you imagine after that has subsided what it will have done as the scars and the blemishes and the unalterable change of a society that ought to be congenial and communicative and looking out for one another? Can you imagine that change? And that's where we're headed, ladies and gentlemen. So we're seeing this pandemic, as it is called, this panic that it has ginned up, this hysteria that we see in America today, it will unalterably change our educational system, educational process, and our society in general, and how we communicate with and cooperate with fellow citizens in America. It will unalterably change the political agenda and the political forefront. And ladies and gentlemen, if there's any possibility to change the political arena for anything worse, this is it. We will not be the same nation, ladies and gentlemen. There's a $2 trillion coronavirus aid package that's to be voted on. They're trying to get Miss Pelosi to come to the table for a vote, and they're trying to force it through today, even though most of the Republicans say that it's bad. Most of the Republicans holding their nose and saying we're going to vote for it because we need to help the coronavirus society and those that are being stricken, smitten, destroyed as far as businesses, that we need to infuse money into the system. And I understand their mentality. I understand the mindset. I'm not criticizing that thought and that aspect that needs to be done. But ladies and gentlemen, we're watching full-fledged socialist nation emerge from what was a constitutional republic as a result of what is being done by funding $2 trillion. And by the way, Nancy Pelosi says $2 trillion is not enough. She's already talking about trying to gin up her leftist group to introduce a $4 trillion package to on the supposed basis of helping the coronavirus economy and to prop it up. But ladies and gentlemen, out of the $2 trillion that they're about to sign off on today, out of that true $2 trillion, and I don't, time will not allow, it will take the entire broadcast to give for you an insight and a forensic analysis of the, I believe it's about 1,100 page bill. Started out about 1,400 pages with Nancy Pelosi. They pared it down to, I believe, about 1,100. Their numbers floating around anywhere from 800 to 1,100. So let's just pick a number and say 1,100. But out of that $2 trillion bill, the arts, the National Endowment of the Arts, will receive $300 million. $300 million. The Kennedy Center will receive $25 million to assist, ladies and gentlemen, listen, funding to assist and to pay the illegal aliens in America. There will be set aside $56 million to take care of their needs, food, clothing, and shelter, provide them income while they are in America illegally. It will pay off $11 billion of the post office debt, U.S. post office debt. It will pay off $11 billion of that debt. What do these things have to do with the coronavirus? This bill will nullify many of President Trump's executive orders against the unions in America. Literally nullify the executive orders that the president put in place to keep the unions from controlling our nation and our businesses in America. It will authorize funds to pay cash for clunkers, talking about the airlines now, it will pay cash to the airlines to sell clunkers, that's bad airplanes, back to the government so that they can update their airplanes. It's very much like the Obama administration did to pay for car clunkers so you could take your car in and turn it in and get an astronomical amount of money to put the money back into society. It will also, ladies and gentlemen, it pays $1 billion to expand the broadband benefits, broadband communication, internet communication globally, nationally. $1 billion to expand that broadband. $1 billion. I can't count that high. It would require employers to pay $15 an hour during the course of the recuperation time from the coronavirus shutdown. $300 million for the National Endowment of the Humanities. $300 million. It will force states to allow 15-day early voting. Four states to allow a minimum of 15-day early voting. It also has in that bill, ladies and gentlemen, unless they stripped it out, where it will set up for the election even this year in November of 2020, that you can vote by mail and you can register on the day that you vote. That's in the coronavirus package, aid package. It allows no excuse absentee voting. You don't have to have an excuse. I'm out of town. I'm sick. I'm dying. Whatever. You just can vote absentee ballot with no excuse. It would eliminate student debt of up to $10,000 per student. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on. Time won't allow. But I want you to understand, all of these things combined in this bill that's supposed to be helping the coronavirus businesses and those that are out of work, it was the intent of the bill. But it is a socialist agenda to usher in socialism in America. Out of the $2 trillion, almost half of it, almost $1 trillion of it, is money that will be set aside that has nothing to do, in case you don't understand, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, that means nothing, not at all, to do with the coronavirus epidemic that supposedly we have as a pandemic in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, this sets the table to usher in a socialist, Marxist, democratic, socialist government in society. In fact, here's some of the illustrations of what others are doing and the socialist, Marxist, Democrats are saying. Ilhan Omar wants government to take over all hospitals. Freshman U.S. Representative Ilhan Omar, a Democrat from Minnesota, has made outlandish proposals and statements before, such as when she pushed the GI Bill benefit for those who weren't even in military, or when she slammed the pro-life Christians, or when she claimed that the U.S. is not a very good place to live except for a time of war. That's all it's good for, she said. But now she wants the government to take over all U.S. hospitals. She took to Twitter on Tuesday to float the proposal that would be the death knell to all health care in America. She wrote, and I quote, "Here is maybe a radical idea to deal with some of the pressures of our health care system we're facing. All private hospitals should be made public hospitals," end quote. That's to give you an idea, ladies and gentlemen, of some of the pushing now from the left for doing something as far as a socialist governance. And then you have the globalist out there, ladies and gentlemen, that wants to use this as an excuse for making America part of a globalist governance. Here's an article that says, "One Worlders Exploit Pandemic for Global Governance." Since climate change has not ushered in the one world government, the global health crisis will do that very thing. Now we're told that the world has to come together to create a one world government financed by global taxes to deal with future pandemics. Gordon Brown calls for the global government to tackle the coronavirus is the British Guardian headline over a story of the former Labour Prime Minister. Globalist organizations led by the World Federation Federalists are leading the charge. This year, however, they think they can have time on their sides because of the movement, because of what's happening with the coronavirus. Their plan of action, as set forth in a draft to their people called People's Declaration, is unfolding mostly behind the scenes as the 75th anniversary of the United Nations provides a much-needed opportunity for the system-wide excuse me, the system-wide stock trading and strengthening of the renewal of the globalist agenda. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, brother. I'm really, how can I say, I'm not happy at all with the Democrats. You can see how the devil used them. And it's unbelievable to see the regular people that are suffering and hoping to get some relief money, and these people trying to inject their wicked, foul, and evil mindset. Money for LGBT, money for abortion clinics, and they want to raise for themselves? I mean, how sick is this? And what bothers me the most is, I don't know about you, brother, but it would be nice if the president exposed them for who they are. The president should say, you know, I've been trying to help the regular working people, but the Democrats are trying to put this pork in this bill, and I'm not going to sign it. I mean, this is the devil at work. He doesn't take a break. And unfortunately, too many conservatives are silent. I mean, they choose to have a press conference and expose them for who they are. They are evil and wicked. I mean,
they are super evil and wicked. It's what is could be called no less than demonic agenda in Washington.
Yeah.
And while you're on the line, while we're talking, many people are not aware of how you calculate $1 trillion. I can't count that far. But I'm looking at an article that says one of the best ways to translate this numbers into time. 1 million seconds is 13 days. A billion seconds is 31 years. A trillion seconds is 31,688 years. Meanwhile, the current national debt is $23.3 trillion. It means that just one bill that's about to be passed will be a total of 8.6% of the country's already breathtaking $23 trillion debt. Now, I can't even count that high, but it shows you where we're headed. In fact, we're told, based on these numbers that's being added to it by this bailout bill, with the present $23 trillion debt and another $2 trillion, they're talking about another $4 trillion being added to that, that we're looking at if interest rates on the federal level, which is now 0.25%, less than a quarter percent, if it goes to 5%, we will not be able to pay our national debt of, at that time, approximately $30 trillion. We will not be able to pay it. The nation would be absolute bankrupt. And that's what we're doing under the guise of helping the coronavirus businesses, but it's being used as a, how would you say, a socialist agenda.
Yes, yes. And it's unfortunate, brother. How about they deserve a raise themselves? Are you kidding me? And for Sanctuary Series, and they're going to reward the lawbreaker illegals in this nation? I mean, these people is, I don't know what to call them. As a Christian myself, I don't have words. But, I mean, if you are a Christian and you think that the Democrats are on your side, you need to be born again. That's my point. God bless you, brother. It's
Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you for your input. Yes, in fact, I can say this very openly, honestly, and poignantly and pointedly, if you will. I believe it's an impossibility for a person to say, I'm Christian, I'm saved, and I'm a Democrat, and I vote as a Democrat. It's an impossibility. It's an oxymoron. It is contrast to anything that would be called a central biblicist mindset whatsoever. We're talking about the tectonic change that is taking place in our nation today as a result of this, educationally, societally, politically. But most of all, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. It will have an indelible change on churches and Christianity and our religious liberties. Hear me well. This will not be something that will go away after the coronavirus panic is over. This unconstitutional act of forcing our churches to close is now a benchmark. It will set the precedence in the future for any so-called crisis that will allow the government to force the churches to close. It is a sad, sad shame to see, but it's a fact of what is taking place. Here's an article. Let me just read you a blurb of it before our break. Virginia governor makes it a criminal offense punishable by jail to anyone to attend church services with more than 10 people. Dateline Richmond, Virginia. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam has made it a criminal offense to attend church services of more than 10 people. The governor's executive order went into effect in Commonwealth on Tuesday, March the 24th, making any non-essential gatherings a misdemeanor, punishable by up to 1 year in jail and a fine of $2,500. Executive Order 53 states, all gatherings of more than 10 people are banned statewide beginning 11:59 p.m. on Tuesday, March the 24th, 2020. This does not include gatherings that involve the provision of health care, medical services, access to essential services, low-income residents, such as food banks, operational media, law enforcement agencies, operational government. The executive order expires 11:59 on April the 23rd, but is subject to change. It goes into detail. Essential businesses include grocery stores, pharmacies, banks, medical supply stores, gas stations, pet stores, laundromats, and liquor stores. Those are essential, ladies and gentlemen, he says. And he says, let's stop for a second, this writer says. Liquor stores are essential, can remain open, but churches are required to be closed? This is bizarre, especially when you recognize our Constitution says Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.